was great and grace was free. Pardon that was multiplied to me. There my burdens open liberty. Glory. Praise the Lord bless each one tonight. We give everyone a warm welcome in their service tonight in the name of the Lord. And it's good to be gathered in His name, isn't it? Pray for all the weeks ahead. Keep Sister Sharon in prayer. She's not too well. She's got a bad flu, and my son William as well. Keep them in your prayers. Appreciate your prayers. And then next Sunday night, Brother Mark will be preaching here. Pray for me as I go to Mountain Lodge to preach next Sunday night. And just pray the Lord will help us and give us a word in season. And you may be seated. Praise the Lord. That the Lord will have His way. Amen. I want tonight to remember this wee girl's called Peggy Jane. She's just been born. She's my Hannah's sister-in-law's daughter. She's just born. So Hannah's sister-in-law just had a wee baby. She went into hospital and she wanted to have the baby, natural or whatever way, but she was having problems. She was advised what to do. She didn't do that. She continued on to 2 days past from she started. That's a long time. You sisters know better than me, but I think that's a long time. And they ended up doing a cesarean, but because it took a long time and she was not cooperating, maybe, well, that was her choice, but anyhow, that's not important. But the important thing is, the wee girl's, she's 2 days old now. She had to get her lung punctured to relieve fluid to stop it from going to her brain and spreading in an infection because of a few complications. But the Lord's good, isn't it? Praise God. The Lord is good. So we want to pray for this wee baby. The parents will not see it, but that'll make no difference to God. We'll claim them as well, that God will save them. And we want to pray for this wee baby. Jesus said, suffer the little ones to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. So we want to pray tonight. If you have a need as well, pray as well. And God's so good, isn't He? He answers prayer. Last Sunday morning, I thought myself I was going to have to go up to Geiserly. I was in big pain, but I've caught a healing. Now it's coming. It's coming. And I'm believing it's coming. And God's good. God is good. And praise God. Let's bow our heads tonight. If you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord and we're going to pray for any needs tonight. And anyone tuned in tonight has a need as well, you can put your hand on the machine you're listening as a point of contact. Just believe God tonight will touch you as well. It's listening in. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You this evening that we have open access because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we can come from Your footstool into Your very throne room and into Your very presence by the new and living way. The veil's been rent from the top to the bottom, or the bottom to the top. Lord, You've torn in two, and You've made a way into the holiest of holies, a new and living way. Father, we come tonight. We would say with the one that penned it, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to Thy cross I cling. Father, will You sanctify us tonight? Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong deed, every wrong word. Cleanse us and wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb of God. And fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. I do take the Holy Ghost right now. And I thank You for the Holy Spirit. And I pray that every spirit in this room will be subject to the Holy Spirit right now. I come against every work of the devil in every life and every home. I rebuke the powers of darkness in the name of Jesus Christ over your hand raised. Pray You'll answer every individual prayer. That You'll touch every single person in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift this wee Peggy before you tonight. Father, we're asking you for mercy, for grace, for help in the time of need. Lord, that you'll touch her. Lord, in Jesus Christ's name, lay your hand on that wee one tonight. Lord, move in her parents, speak to them. Bring them to know you as their Savior and Lord. Move in our Hannah as well, and Nathan, speak to them. Deal with them. Bring them back to yourself. Father, just grant the miracle in Jesus' precious name. Lord, for those that need special prayer of the night, maybe that's tuned in, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke a spirit of infirmity and fear, and I speak healing and restoration in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. We proclaim it. We pronounce it. We send your word. We speak your words. By your wounds, by your stripes, we are healed. You sent your word and you healed them. You delivered them. You set them free. Lord, you said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And we say we're healed. We speak it. We say it. We decree it. We declare it in the name of Jesus Christ. I must speak over everyone in this house. Your blessing, your healing, salvation in every home, in every family, that they'll be saved, that not one will be lost. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, grant it tonight. Increase your faith. Forgive us for unbelief. Touch each one. Bless each one. Help us with your word. Lord, let us not go off on any tangents, but keep us in the straight line with the true word of God, and give us revelation, stimulation. Let the Holy Ghost come, and let the Holy Ghost move in each one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Touch Sharon tonight. Touch William tonight. Move in William. Lord, he made a decision some time ago, but I need you to move on him, to touch him. Oh God, to speak to them, to every one of them, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that you can do it, for you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, grant it, I pray. And Lord, for those in this room tonight, secret prayers that you've heard, because you see and know everything, touch that dear sister right now, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch me, Auntie Eiling. Lord, make her well, make her whole. Touch her, bless her. May she know your presence even right now tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Bless those that had to work and those that couldn't be here and some that's on holidays. And Father, bless your own people, Israel. Oh God, bless them, and bless all the nurses and doctors and those in authority. Give them your wisdom and your guidance. For all these things we do ask and pray in the name that's above every single name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Forgive me if I'm a bit emotional. Praise God. God is so good. You know, I remember many years ago in Schuyler, Nebraska, I was just a young fella. And they brought a wee baby, and his hips and everything was all out of joint and everything. And the Lord healed it straight away. And you could hear clicks, the clicks, and the hips and everything was fixed right there and then. God done it. And many people got saved in them meetings. And you know, I was traveling with missionaries, and they didn't even know it was her. I had went to stay at a house for the night, and unknown to them where I had went to stay, the young people that lived there, and I was one of them then, that were my age, they took me along to this church, and the pastor seen me and he heard my accent, he wanted me to preach. It's a Pentecostal church. Nothing was planned, but God had it all planned. That's the thing about God. God bless you tonight. Let's turn again, and we want to look again at this spirit of Elijah. And I don't know, I might get Matthew to show a little chart tonight. We'll see how it pans out. I won't want to keep us too long tonight. And remember, we're an hour ahead. we're one way, one road, the other way, the other road. But praise God, it's not important. Sure, it's not. It's not really important, praise God. But I used to really laugh when my dad did it. I think often about it, praise the Lord. Matthew 17, verse 11. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Alas, truly shall first come and restore all things. So before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, God promised that he would send another spirit of Elijah whose ministry would restore all things. Now, if you were to go through the church ages tonight, Matthew, maybe you can put that up. Go ahead and put it up. If you were to go down through the seven church ages tonight, and you know when you go through them church ages, that's just different. I don't know how clear that is really for people to see it. But there's your seven church ages. St. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley. Then the spirit of Elijah coming in the last church age. And we're in the last church age. And you remember in the last church age, it's total darkness. That bit of light was put in there, but apparently when it originally came, it was total darkness because there's no light outside of the Lord. It's not right. He's the light. And if you don't have him in the meeting, you've no light. So a church that has programs and things and they think they're doing well, if Jesus is not in there, there's no light. That's why the church are roaming the nights in pure darkness. They're in pure darkness. And that's why King Charles is wrong to go and visit the Pope and the prayer meetings with him. Light can have no fellowship with darkness where you are. It's not scriptural what he's doing. But that's another subject. But you see this, you're going to have a wee look at this, and you see, in each age, you have the Lamb, the Word of God, the Lamb, the Ephesus age, the Sumerian, Primordian, Thyatira age with the calf, the ox, and then Sardis, Philadelphia was the face of the man. Laodicea is the flying eagle. That's the age we're in. And this is all revelation, and I haven't got time tonight to take you all into all these things. That's a massive subject. I'd love to have the time to do it, and I'm praying God gets me a different job because I need more time. And I'll tell you, it's no problem for me to wait in the room. I like doing it. I enjoy waiting on the Lord and praying and getting into the Word of God and reading and waiting on God and praying for different ones and everything like that. I enjoy that, and I believe in Scripture. Let's not meet these should serve tables, but to give themselves continually to praying and fasting. That's what the Word of God says. So you see this brief outline, and then your seven seals, and you see the first seal, the second seal, the third seal, the fourth seal, and there's your four horse riders, the white, the red, the black, and the gray, which is a mixture. And the first horse rider, he had a bow but no arrows, so that's the Antichrist, the bluff. The red horse, that's your martyrs, the blood, speaking about blood, the martyred God's people, and the road, it was blood, the depth of blood. How many was killed with Rome? How many is Rome then? They killed them. Then later on, they changed their mind. And they said, oh, actually, after all, they're part of us. And then they claimed them. St. Patrick was a preacher, a man of God, but Rome eventually claimed him. And there's so many tonight what Rome claimed. But in this last church age, which we're in, brothers and sisters, and the spirit of Elijah's promised to come, and there's going to be a catching away. Now, people's worried about the mark of the beast. Let me tell you this. I've been looking a bit more at it, but I haven't had enough time with it either. Don't you worry one thing about the mark of the beast. I'll tell you right now. For I'll tell you why. If you're part of the bride of Jesus Christ, you'll be going. And you'll not be worrying about no mark of the beast. You'll be tucked, raptured, out of here. And when this whole thing comes in right, we're going. And God's going to turn back to Israel, but we're away. And then tribulation's coming on this earth, such as never been seen from the beginning of the time. And the Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. Praise God. And I tell you, I was looking on it, and come on, some real good, interesting things about it. But I hadn't time to go any further with that. Too many hay on the fork. Praise God. God, we're dealing tonight with the spirit of Elijah. The spirit of Elijah. Prophet and the spirit of Elijah coming, whose ministry would be to restore all things, to turn the heart of God's born again children back to the faith of the early church. There you are, Brother Jordan. That's Malachi 4 and 6. There's your scripture. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And it's going to turn the hearts. And we know the spirit of Elijah, when you study it right in the Old Testament, it's a heart-turning spirit. Amen. It turns hearts. And God is to turn our heart back to the original apostolic message. Because down through all these ages, they lost an awful lot of truth that they had. It's not that the word needs restored. A lot of people used to say, restoring the word. You cannot restore the word of God. It doesn't need restored. But the people need brought back to the true word of God. That's the restoration is talking about. Where God brings us back. And Brother George often prays, and it's absolutely the truth, you know. We've come back to the apostolic foundation. Now, there's people claim that they're continuing the succession of the apostolic ministry, but they're not doing it. Because they couldn't be doing it. Because if they were doing it, they would have to baptize the people, according to Acts 2:38, in the name of Jesus Christ, but they're not doing that. And there's many things they're doing that's not even in the Bible. So they're not doing. But there is a group of people that will do it. Because God's going to have a bride. He's going to have a bride. A bride that is called out. And the Holy Spirit calls her out. And I tell you, she will believe the word of God. She'll want the word of God. She's in love with the word of God. She's dressed in the word of God. Amen. And she loves the Lord. Now, there should be a real anticipation in our hearts to understand these things. That God also promised that there would be a prophet in the spirit of Elijah, whose ministry would be to turn the hearts of God back. The real born-again experience. And, you know, those that's become entangled with man's doctrine, God has sent a message in the 20th century to open our ears up and to bring us out from man-made tradition and dogmas back to the true word of God. That's what this is all about. This is not to form an organization called the Message Movement or any other movement. That's not what it's about. And all them things can be all right, but they can become extreme. That's not what this is about. This is to bring us back to the true word of God and to glorify Jesus Christ. That he's the head and the center of our preaching and our worship and our praise. Back to the faith of the early church fathers, as it was following the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given. And when the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, I want you to notice some things they've done. They spoke with tongues for one. When they met the sick, they were healed. They had the power of God upon them because of what Jesus said before he went. That he was sent and the promise of the Father was coming. The Holy Ghost was coming. And when the Holy Ghost comes, power comes with it. There's no such thing as the coming of the Holy Spirit with no power. You can't find that in the Bible. When the Holy Spirit comes, there's power with the Holy Spirit. And thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we must understand that it's necessary for God to send a prophet in our generation. It's necessary. Because this is the Laodicean church age, the last Gentile age. And there is to be a rapture or catching up at the end of this age. And we're so close tonight to that catching up. So close to the coming of the Lord. Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. And God has had a messenger to each church age. Seven church ages, seven messengers. When you read Revelation, you'll read seven stars in the hand of Jesus. How many knows that's Revelations? And a star is as an angel is as a messenger. And there's seven messengers, seven stars, seven messengers, one to each church age. And they will have a message sent from God. I know a lot of people don't preach this, but that won't make no difference. It's the truth. And because somebody doesn't preach something doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means they don't see any emphasis to preach it. That's all right. But I feel the Holy Spirit wants us to know it. And we need to preach it. And we need to know it. Because it's in there for a reason. It's to prepare us for what's happening, what's coming. And I believe this coming of the spirit of Elijah turns our heart, to turn the heart of God's children back to the Word, to reveal the mystery of God's Word before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now we know the Spirit of Elijah comes five times. According to the Bible, five visits of the Spirit of Elijah coming on chosen prophets of God, chosen. Remember that Elijah or Elias means Jehovah is God. Now look, I refer to this book, and I'm making no apologies for doing it. This is a powerful book. This book Leon Long wrote. It's a way, way above what people think in the good of days. And I'll tell you, if you haven't got one, take one and read it, and you'll understand these things I'm talking about even more better than I can tell you. He's it well done out in that. I believe God led him to do this. I believe that. That was his ministry. And I believe God picks men. Look, Martin Luther, you've got your Bible today because God led that man to write it out and to put it in words that me and you could read it and have it today. So God chooses men to do these things. And every man till his own office, and the Lord blesses them. Just like in the Old Testament, God anointed men for doing certain jobs. And he's still the same today. Isn't that right? The first prophet in the spirit of Elijah was Elijah himself, the Tishbite, 1 Kings 17 and 1. And Elisha the Tishbite, who was an inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, whom I stand before, there shall not be dew nor rain 3 years, but according to my words. So I'll tell you, Elijah, the first Elijah that came, when he said it, it happened. I want you to get that. When he spoke it and said it, it come to pass. Then the second is Elisha. 2 Kings 2, verse 13 to 15. And he took up the mantle of Elijah, brother Laurie preached it, that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted thither and hither. And Elias went over, and when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. So the same spirit that was on Elijah, where is it now? On Elisha. So even though God takes a man, the spirit still goes on. The spirit still goes on. Then we saw this morning in the broader night, the third time's John the Baptist. Matthew 7:11-14. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was to come. He's talking about John the Baptist. That's the third time. On the fourth occasion, the spirit of Elijah was to be on a prophet to the Gentiles to call out Christ's bride for the rapture. And this ministry will restore the Gentile bride of Christ back to the Word of God, revealing the mystery of the seven sealed book to God's people. And I believe in the 20th century, God has sent such a man. And I cannot see any other man that had the ministry of that man that did the things that was done in that ministry. It was so supernatural, so outstanding, that even the very secrets of the heart were revealed and made known. And future events were told and came to pass. Now, I know every single devil alive that's on YouTube and all these internet things, and if you waste your time to go on to it, they're all trying to disprove it today. But if God gives you a real revelation of who that prophet was, then you'll know it. And you need to stick to that then. But if you've never had that revelation, I can't give you it. Only God can do that part. But many people have denied it now and have went away from it. I'm not talking about a message group or nothing like that. I'm talking about the truth. Once we have the truth, we should never leave it. We should hold on to the truth. And I believe this is the truth, that God did send a message. And the message never came so that we would worship a man. I've preached that for years. But that we would know God and the truth of God at this end time. And exactly what's taking place and happening. And you look at all them prophecies in 1933, the prophecy was made. How that, and Brother Laurie even mentioned some of them his own self. How the car would be the shape of an egg and go up the road and wouldn't have an engine in it to part and all them things that could play games in it as it went up and down the road. It's happening today. My son can ring me from New Zealand and he can say to me, Dad, where do you see this? And he can fold his two arms in a tractor and he's sowing a crop. And it's in the computer and the tractor goes round the field and she knows where to turn and everything else. And what about if there's cars out here in the car park that some of these fellas are driving and you can hit a thing and they can reverse themselves. Is that the truth? We're in an age. We're in such an age for the science. Everything's right. It's done. What's happening? And you know, they're coming in now. They don't even want diesel cars and all these things. They want everything electric and all these. Now, I know preachers years ago believed they did already have it a long time back. Now, I don't know about that, but that's what they say. They had batteries and they had knowledge. We don't have today, but we're going back to it. Because the Bible says knowledge is to increase. That's the Bible. And just as in the natural, so is in the spiritual. And we don't want to be working in the field with a 3-4 plow when you can have someone that can pull 6 for us. We want to have the truth. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying don't be working with 3-4. Just an example. You know what I mean? God's give us more to know. And the Bible says my people suffer for lack of knowledge. So God doesn't want us to suffer for lack of knowledge. God wants us to know the truth for the hour we're living in. Amen. Now let me read you this, the seventh seal. You notice, for the end of the time message, this seal, after all, he's revealed all 6 seals, but he didn't say nothing about the seventh. And the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. Now that's what a prophet of God said, but yet with all we're preachers today, and they know everything. They know all about it, but yet here's what he said. You see, there's things that God can show us, and there's things that God will never show us. And the Bible says that secret things belong to the Lord. Something could happen in your family and you don't understand why. And I can say the same. And God might never show you any, mate. That's down to God. But we're glad for what he does show us. Amen. Now there's Philip was telling the fellas earlier this evening. I hope he doesn't mind me saying. God showed him about going to catch a fish. Where to catch it and everything. And he went and there it was and he got it. Now, if God can show Philip how to catch a fish and where it is and what to catch it with, and it's exactly like he showed in the dream, God can do that. God can show you anything he wants. That's how God can do it. Yeah, but you see, you know what's wrong today? Some people think, well, I'm really spiritual and I'm really walking out for the Lord. And then maybe you look at other people and they think, here, boy, you know what I mean? Like, see that crowd down there? Like, they're not real serious. Like, they don't have much of a place where they are and all them. They're looking at it from a natural standpoint. But they're failing to see God's no respecter of persons. And here Jesus himself said to the religious leaders of the day, you see John the Baptist here, you think he's just some old boy coming out of the wilderness with camel's hair and all that. And he's no fine clothes about him or living in some fancy house. But he's in the spirit of Elijah. But you see, you boys can't see it. But if you can receive it, that's him. This is the man. And that's the way it is today again. God reveals the things to babes. And people that think they can see it might never see it. That's God's business. But before knowing, remember, Revelations 10:7, 1-7, you can read it. The seventh angel's message, all the messages of God that have been known at the end time, and the seals is off the book. And you remember also when the seven seals, when these seals was taken off the book in Revelation, which I believe God has took the seals off. And we know what's in them seals, this Antichrist and all these things, and we'll take more meetings to get on it and everything. But listen, there was demons released. There's more devils loosed in this age than any other age. This look, Sodom and Gomorrah is nothing in this age. The immorality in this age matches Sodom and Gomorrah, if not worse. And you know, preachers, and William Branham was one of them, saying if God would have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize if he doesn't judge this age with the wickedness of this age. Look how they go about. And they've no disgrace in it. And they think nothing of it. And they flaunt themselves. And it's one thing for homosexuals to be that. But then they make an organization. And then it gets in and you can't say one word about it. And we have a bunch of politicians. And they're afraid to say anything as well. And that's the truth. We're living. Listen. Remember also the Bible says. As it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And I tell you, we're living in them days. We're living in the most wicked and evil days upon this earth. And you hear me tonight, Jesus Christ is coming again. And every person needs to run to the Lord and be saved. And if they're not saved, they need to get saved and get sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, Revelation 6, verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of the thunder of the four beasts saying, come and see. Revelation 8, 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. The Lord's coming, and he's coming for his people. And there's mysteries that God's made known, and a lot of these things in Revelation is to Israel. Because the church goes and she's caught away. And then God turns back to Israel. I'm going to deal with that in a follow on from this. But it's going to take time to get through it all. The fifth time. So how many can see these four times I've told you now? You have Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, a messenger in our age. And I'm going to say it tonight. I believe it was William Branham. I have no problem in saying that. Let me tell you something this evening. I'm going to tell you something else. And you can look this up and you'll see your own self. When Tommy Osborne went to Australia when he was living some years back, and he told his testimony, and I heard it many times, and you heard it, how that is, he went till abroad to preach to India, and he came home a complete failure. And he had the King James Bible, and they had the Quran, and he says, they had a black book, he had a black book, and come home defeated. And he had all those organizations who sponsor him and everything, but he came home let down, defeated. And his wife, Daisy Osborne, said, Tommy, you're coming with me to a meeting tonight. William Branham, and he said, you must be joking. I can't be seen around that. There's no way that T.L. Osborne could be seen with the associates he has around a William Branham meeting. Because there's a lot of people wouldn't have touched William Branham a barge pole. That's the truth of it. But she told him to come, and when he went, he seen the power of God. That's the night he seen the young girl's eyes open. And the Spirit of God went over him and said, you can do it. You can't do this discernment, but you can pray for the sick and they can be healed. You can do it. Not this particular ministry, but you can preach the gospel and you can see these things happen. And he went home and he closed himself in with the Lord, and he had a visitation from God. God visited him. And he says himself, he's seen Jesus. And the next time I tell you, when he went to India, he never changed a thing. And he went to get a hold of William Branham, and he followed him around a car. And he said to William Branham, do you think could I have one of these healing ministries? And William Branham says, Tommy Osborne, you forget about that. You don't need to seek after nothing. If you preach the original apostolic message, signs and wonders will follow it. And Tommy Osborne went and did it. And the miracles followed. Multitudes of them. Multitudes of them. And he's one of the best preachers you'll ever hear preaching and healing. And William Branham said this, and other preachers said this about Tommy Osborne. They said, Tommy Osborne can take the word of God and tie the devil in a knot so tight that he has to let the people go free. That's what they said. He knew how to use the Bible to preach healing and to preach deliverance, and he did it, and God blessed him. Now, I know a lot of people thought he'd never seen anything, but in my opinion, they never seen nothing. That's my opinion, and I'm entitled to it. Amen, brother. I believe Tommy Osborne was a man of God, and I'm called Tommy as well, so I feel real good about it. It's a real good name. Amen. Even if I'm not called after him, I'll imagine, I'm sure it'll do me all right. Praise God. But I'm saying, I believe he's a man of God. And God used that man. And he's seen the power of God. And you can go and you look up William Branham's funeral service. And when you look up William Branham's funeral service, who preached it? None of these names that they talk about today, Tommy Osborne took it. And when Tommy Osborne took it, here's what he said. He said, I seen Jesus again in that man. He says, Jesus walked the streets of Nazareth But I seen him again walking the streets of Phoenix, Arizona. And that man. And he says, why did the Lord do the things again that he did when he was here in Bible times? Why in the 20th century did he do it again? He says, the Lord did it again to remind us that he's still the same. And I tell you, that message was anointed when he preached it, and I believe it tonight. And it's not to get us to worship a man, but we need to recognize that God has sent the spirit of Elijah on a prophet of God in the 20th century to bring a message from God to turn our hearts back to original apostolic message. And then this fifth time when it comes, and you know, the fifth time is when the two witnesses come to Israel, Moses and Elijah, to minister to God's elect. That is after the rapture takes place. So I don't believe we'll be here when this happens. I believe the catching up will have took place. We will have went home to be with the Lord. Now, let me read you Revelations just for a moment. You see these. And I won't keep you long tonight. I hope you're enjoying the Word of God. Now, after trying this morning, I don't want to read too quick. Then you won't know what I'm reading. I need to slow down, don't I? The sister's looking at me. That means yes, brother. But I'm going to slow down a bit because I can get too quick. And then if you say something too quick and you think it's fantastic, but it's not because nobody knows what you're saying. So it's no good. Sure it's not. My dad told me that years ago when he preached in the streets. Speak slow. Deliberate. That your words can be heard. And not too long. So there's three things. Praise God. Verse 3 of Revelation 11. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now you see the description God's given these two men. It's not amazing. Olive trees and everything. Look how God's identifying them. And verse 5, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in like manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with all plagues. There's Moses. As often as they will. So whenever they want to do it. Verse 7. And when they finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their bodies to be put into the graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. Isn't that something? Boy, you think of this. Now, this is Moses and Elijah, and you think of it. Elijah's talk up to heaven, he's starting with the Lord in the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses goes up the mountain and God buries him, and here he is again. And they get killed and God raises them up again. Death's no power in these men. Because God's with them. And these fellas can do what they want, and as far as it goes, controlling the nature of everything. And you're reading here, they tormented the people with the plagues and stuff. This is the tribulation. And I tell you, this is an awful time. And you remember this beast that's rising up, and that's a whole other subject. I'm hoping Brother Brian can come sometime and take a series in the Mark of the Beast and these things. He can go right into it. And I'm praying the Lord will bring him. Will you pray? And he's praying. I've already asked him. He's praying to come. And I don't want him for a couple of meetings. I want him for a few weeks to take time and to get into it and get prepared and everything. Pray the Lord will work it. Praise God. They stood on their feet. And great fear fell upon them that saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. I believe that's the angels of the Lord again. Do you believe that tonight? That's the same angels. Can we believe that tonight? I tell you, isn't this something special? How God's word never makes a mistake. You look at every single time. When the Lord went up, the angels. When we're going to go up, angels. And here these two witnesses, angels. Isn't that something? I'll tell you, it's wonderful, isn't it? And their enemies beheld them. Now we should know from studying God's word that Elijah was caught up in the chariot of fire in 2 Kings 2 and 11. He was caught up. But here he is back again, starting witnessing to the people of Israel. And he's been killed, him and Moses. And then they're raised up. And they stand up. And then they ascend up into the heavens. You see, the power of God is far beyond what we can comprehend. You see, that's why witchcraft and all them things, they're only copying. They're trying to levitate and copy the things of God. And doing them things. And I told you before, when I was in California in 1991, that's a few years ago, and the man levitated as high as this. Now, it did scare me, I'll be honest about it. And I was talking in tongues to the Lord, and the voice said to me, fear not, for tomorrow I'll deliver that man. And God delivered him the next day. The demons were cast out of him, and he was set free, and they all got a big shock, I'll tell you that. And there was a woman staying in that house, and let me tell you this one. She was commissioned by the Roman Catholic Church. Hear me tonight. A priest came and prophesied to her. And a priest said to her, you will infiltrate the Pentecostal churches and go amongst them. And she was amongst them. And God showed me someone about her and another woman in the same house that nobody in that place knew about. And that's the truth. God knows that's the truth. And the Lord saved me as well from a trap that was set. The Lord saved me from it. And my father at home was praying the very night. And he contacted me afterward and he said on a certain night, such and such, and I said, that's the truth, Dad. How'd you know that? He says, the Spirit of God come mightily on me at home here. And I started to pray. There was a trap set. But I'd go into it because I exposed the enemy. Now I could tell you more about it, but it's not on the subject tonight. But God was so good, he kept me. I never kept myself. Don't you think that? I would have failed in a moment. I'm just a man. But the Lord kept me. And I thank God he kept me. But Elijah and Moses, who never entered the promised land, but according to the word of God, died and the Lord buried him. And nobody knew where he was, but God knew. God knew. Do you realize the Lord is people tonight? And some people wouldn't go near them. They'll never talk to them, but the Lord knows where they are. Just like that woman at the well. None of the religious leaders was going down there. But I'll tell you what, like T.L. Osborne said, brothers, keep at it. Go to where the sinners are. Go to where the sinners are. Jesus Christ wants to save sinners. He died to save sinners. Look at Deuteronomy with me, and it won't be too long. Deuteronomy 34, verse 5 to 6. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And they'll have trouble finding it now. But if they're over in Jerusalem, if they're over there, when this tribulation sets in, they'll hear him preaching. Isn't our God wonderful? That he was buried over there, and yet withal, on the Mount of Transfiguration, there's Moses and Elijah with the Lord. And there they're standing with them, and the disciples see it. And does not let you see that tonight God can let you see something, and other people might never be allowed to see it. And that pillar of fire could come in this room tonight. And some people could see it, and some people mightn't be allowed to see it. That's down to God. And God can let some people be visited with angels and powerful things happen, and others it'll never happen. It's down to God. God's absolutely sovereign, isn't he? But look, are you glad you're saved? That's the main thing tonight, to be ready, to be born again, to be saved. Whoever, both Moses and Elijah were there alive when they talked to the Lord in Matthew 17:3. These two witnesses will preach the same revelation to Jesus Christ to Israel and call out 144,000. So the Mormons that claim they're claiming 144,000. Well, I'm telling you, that's wrong. It's the Jews. And they're going to call out 144,000 elect of Israel during the tribulation. And we're going to get into it as well. We won't have time tonight. And I'll show you about them. We're the wild branch was grafted in. But we not to boast ourselves, because Israel's blinded. Israel is blinded in part for us to be saved. But God loves Israel. God's going to turn back to Israel. Now, not all Israel that says are Israel, but there's a real Israel. And the Lord knows him, doesn't he? Let me read you Revelation 7. And then we'll come to a close. I won't go any further after that. Revelation 7. It's a quite a long reading, but you listen to the words. You'll be blessed listening to the words from Revelation. And after these things, I saw the four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on the land, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed, 144,000 of the tribes of the children of Israel. And I pause for a moment, because I have to tell you this wee bit that come to me the other day as well. So many things. Delay. Have you ever read the scripture that the master delayeth his coming? The delay. If some of you should preach a message on that, the delay. When you think of the trains coming and someone's delay, there's been a delay. But the delay of God is because of God's mercy. The delay is because of God's mercy that everyone will come in. And that's a parable of Jesus. It's another parable. Would you take time to go into everyone? Wouldn't it be great to have our own place where you can just go night after night and take all them parables, go right into them? Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and peoples, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God that sitteth upon the throne of the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be unto God forever and ever. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, what are these which are red and white robes, and whence are they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which come out of great tribulation. Great tribulation. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun lighten them nor heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them on the living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. So I tell you, there's a multitude to be saved. It's a real sad thing. I have to be honest with you. It's a real pathetic thing when people say, oh, they'll not be in the rapture, and they're more or less useless. They've more or less put people off. that they're basically useless. But the Bible doesn't. And I believe it's a sin to talk like that about any of God's people. And people might not see everything we see, and that's not important. You know, we can't make nobody see anything, but we only see what we see, what God gives us. But I tell you, there's people going to be saved during the tribulation as well. That's one thing that fellow's been asking me about the tribulation. And people been saved. I put the mark. Now the mark's coming during that time. But those that refuse it, they'll have their heads cut off, but they will be saved. And they'll be in heaven. Let's stand our feet tonight. Let's be zealous for the Lord. Let's believe God has sent the spirit of Elijah to turn us back to the original apostolic message. Let's believe it. Let's preach it. Covet the best gifts. Don't be afraid to lay hands on where we have to. And respect and believe the gifts of God and the people of God. And let's go forward. And if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you need to get baptized. That's the word of God. And don't delay about it. Get it done. Praise God. God bless you tonight. Lift your hand if you have a need. We're going to pray and we're going to, Brother Gary's coming and then we're going to sing and go. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. Lord, we bless you this evening, Lord Jesus. Lord, we were limited, perhaps, what we know and what the gift we have. But Father, we just look to you this evening. We thank you for your mercy, for your grace, how you've kept us, preserved us. Lord, the enemy would have trampled us under feet, but you saved us. Many pits was dung, but you kept us as the apple of your eye. Lord, tonight, will you continue to bless your own people, to strengthen them, to keep them. Pray for every single person in this room right now, from the youngest to the oldest. Let the hand of God be upon each and every one of us. Seal every one of us with the Holy Spirit. Help us to know the truth and to walk in the light as you're in the light. Save our families and children. Save our loved ones. And all these prayer requests, may you answer them. And may you meet every need. Bless our brother Brian in Australia tonight. Oh God, strengthen him, encourage him, help him. Brother Hart as well, move upon him. Lord, we don't want to see that place closed down. We want to see it shining as a light, as a beacon. Touch our brother, we pray. Raise up young men over there to take the message on to the coming of the Lord. Father, touch young men's hearts amongst us tonight. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. For the hands raised in this meeting or someone listening in tonight with a real need. Lord, you're the great physician, the sympathizing Jesus. We look to you now. We pray for the hands raised, meet the need. For those tuned in, meet the need. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, we look to you tonight. Lord, you know my own desire, my own heart, what I want. Desire, and I believe it's from you. Help us, Lord, and just to be what you want us to be. Nothing more, nothing less, but that we may be led by the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we want more of that Holy Ghost. As a brother prayed the other night, may you send upon us that latter rain, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, bless us now and have your way amongst us. And keep everyone safe, traveling and get in and out. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. God bless.
Let's sing the hymn, I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in.
I am thinking of the rapture in our